May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text one more time from Isaiah 50. It's a text we don't hear very often. Isaiah 50, 4 through 9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
When we think of Palm Sunday, the humility of Christ stands out even as he's being lauded and praised by the crowd. Our Lord's humility stands out because he's riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. He is riding a humble animal of a humble animal. His humility is striking. And yet the crowds do not hesitate to hail him as a conquering king at the same time. They shout, "Hosanna!" because they're confident that this Jesus can save them. Thus, the people in that first Palm Sunday crowd did not just see the humility of Jesus, but they saw his face. And to see the face of Jesus Christ was to see the face of God. They also saw that the one on the colt, the foal of a donkey, had a face unlike a face that had ever been seen. It was on the one hand a common face. In fact, his face fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 53:2. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him, God's word. And yet on the other hand, it was a face that when the Lord directed his face to be presented in accord with fulfilling the will of the Heavenly Father was an undeniable face. His face was indelible. And when people saw his face, they were moved in whatever way the Father wanted them to be moved. And on this occasion of Palm Sunday, to see the face of Jesus was, even if many did not know what they were saying, was to be inspired to beg that this one with this face, this Jesus, save poor sinners. Tom DuBois, in his stunning portrait of Christ entitled The Triumphal Entry, presents exquisite detail of the crowd excited to welcome the king with shouts, palm branches, and all the while the light of Jesus is emanating. It is both subtle and unmistakable. DuBois highlights his face. Everyone who saw his face had to shout out. They had no choice but to do so, or the rocks would have shouted out. Jesus' face is powerful. Luke 4 records Christ in Nazareth. The people, including those from his own hometown, they were enraged by the Lord's teaching. And they rose up and drove him out of the town, brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so they could throw him down the cliff. God's word. It sounds like Jesus was being manhandled, driven out, led to, forced to the brow of the hill to be thrown over. And then verse 30 of Luke 4 is stated, but passing through their midst, he went away. God's word. Jesus stopped and looked at them and cut through them like a hot knife cutting through butter. Fast forward after Palm Sunday, when they came to arrest the Lord, his enemies came out in force. Judas came with a band of soldiers, some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus was unafraid and asked them, whom do you seek? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And then we have this recorded at John 18, verse 6. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they drew back and they fell to the ground. His voice, his face, was a voice in the face of God. And it was also a man's face. It was also the face of a man who was utterly committed to the Father's will and therefore determined to reach the cross at all costs. It was also the face of a man who prayed that he might be permitted not to. Matthew 26:39. That is, Jesus was already bearing a cross before bearing the cross. It was not easy. And I said previously that he was not afraid, but we cannot take this too far. Because later in Gethsemane, he would sweat blood. He must have known fear without sin. And so it was a real fear experienced by the Word made flesh. So what did Jesus do with that? What did he do with followers who were confused about his mission? How did he process the many other disciples up to this point who turned away and stopped following him? What did he do about Satan's constant attacks to dissuade him from going to the cross? What did he do about the enemies who rose up to falsely accuse him constantly? What was our Savior to do? Well, when Jesus heard that King Herod wanted to kill him, he said, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow and the third day I finish my course. Nothing was going to stop our Lord from saving us from sin and death and Satan. These hate you, Christians. They want to destroy you. So Jesus said, I'm not backing down. And he demonstrated a determination the world had never seen. Isaiah says at chapter 50, verse 7, therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. And yet he knew that when his enemy, he knew what his enemies would do to him represented the world's shame. They would pluck out the hair of his beard, for example. Among other things, a beard is a sign of manliness and dignity. So to pull out a beard is a painful way to shame and to emasculate. He would not hide his face to cover it up from actual insults or from being spit upon, smiting on the cheek, strokes with rods, blows upon the head. The way of his calling led through a shameful condition of humiliation. Matthew 26:67-68, and note what was done to his face. Then they spit in his face, and they struck him. And some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, O Christ, who is it that struck you? But, 1 Peter 2:23, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. God's word. So again, Isaiah 50, verse 7, therefore I have set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be put to shame. These words are about the face of our Lord and Savior. They are words similar to some prophets of the Old Testament. God made Jeremiah to withstand the enemies of God as well. Jeremiah 1, and behold, I make you, Jeremiah, this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. And to Ezekiel, Ezekiel 3, behold, I've made your face as hard as their faces, your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, have I made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they're a rebellious house, God's word. And of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah described how Jesus entered Jerusalem to save you and me. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. Flint is an opaque black, gray, brownish black, or smoky brown variety of very fine-grained silica. It is harder than steel and is used as an abrasive. Flint fractures when it does into shell-like shapes as a result of either a blow or under thermal action. Because of this, the hardness of the material, flint was extensively used for weapons. His enemies thought they were defeating him by striking his face, but they were only aggravating an impervious weapon that though he outwardly suffered and was physically weakened, Jesus was, even while taking blows to the face, defeating our darkness. With every blow, his flint might chip, but it would then form a cutting edge against our sin, against our death, and to slit the devil's throat. Boxing is a violent sport. The right blow to the face will send powerful men to the ground. There's a reason the potential knockout in a fight draws people to watch. It's another form, along with the more updated UFC fighting, that is our contemporary version of watching gladiators. Even boxers who have had tremendously successful careers have experienced being hit to the face and knocked out, or at least knocked down. But there was one in history, the history of boxing, named George Chavallo. He was widely considered to have the best chin in the history of boxing. He was never, I'm not going to say knocked out, get this, he was never knocked down in 93 professional fights, including bouts with Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. He was hit in the face innumerable times, but nothing could stop him, even if he was defeated by the decision of the judges. But what our Lord Jesus endured made all of that look like nothing. Jesus took what he took for you so that all of the power of sin and death, all the power of darkness, all the power of the demonic would have their own blows crushed by the face of the one who bore your sins. We are the ones deserving of the blows, but Jesus took those blows for you. He was determined. His face was set like flint. Nothing was going to stop him from going to the cross for you. And it was the last thing Satan wanted, Because by reaching the cross, Jesus would crush the adversary's head and overcome everything in this world that stands against our lives. This is why the devil was so desperate as he spoke through tempters while Jesus was dying. Come down from the cross. Come down. As if they were begging him. The tempters were practically begging the Lord to come down, but their temptations were hitting the flint, and their blows and barbs were rendered futile. The Lord who entered Jerusalem this day was also entering your lives, Christians. The one whose face is like a flint is also preparing you for glory and making you like himself. Thus he tells us to put on the full armor of God that we may stand in the evil day. It's as if he's making our faces like his face. That makes sense. Because the day is coming when you and I will see him face to face, and the scriptures say that we will then be like he is. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. But already your Christ flint is showing, Christians. The normal Christian life is not to be spared from suffering and pain, but it is to experience God allowing it in our lives so that our faith is refined, so that our faith has become like the face of our Savior Jesus. Not mean faces, not cruel faces, but faces of knowing endurance. Faces that hold to the Lord no matter what we face. Faces which are determined. Faces that do not run away from our crosses. Faces that show light and love. Faces that show compassion. Faces that will tell Satan to get lost. Faces that will stare down temptation with, I will not. I will not. Faces that resist the devil and see him run away. What was it like for St. Peter when, after denying the Lord three times, to see him even from a distance, the Lord turning to look at him and seeing his face? Luke 22. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. The Lord's face convicts us, and we must bow down confessing our sin. We're like Peter in the boat, would prefer the Lord to go away from us because we're just too sinful. But Jesus will not go away. He will not leave you. He stays, and then his face changes for you. Peter knew that face too. The face that restored him with the greatest compassion the world has ever known. For every time Peter denied, Jesus restored. His face restores you, Christian. It was hard as flint to save you, and it was so loving towards you that it makes you strong to stand, to have your faces set against this world that tries to stop you, becoming like flint. And yet still loving all the people in the world. Flint that says no to sin and yes to God. Flint that takes you into your callings with determination to be faithful. Flint that cuts through the discouragements of this world while holding to Jesus who says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And his rest is the forgiveness of our sins. His rest is healing for our wounds. His rest is life over our death. His rest is the power of the Holy Spirit for us so that the world and its tribulations cannot stop us. For Jesus, our flint, has overcome the world. This is why we sing and shout Hosanna this day. Our victorious King has come like flint, strong to save. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.